welcome to Spirit's Work, the show that's designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. Each week with our spirit friends, we discuss a different topic of interest. We discuss a different topic of interest. I keep losing my voice. And our hope is that through listening to those who continue to walk with us and watch over us, we can offer you further options and choices to mull over and investigate within your own mind. And this week's show is called Affinity with Reality. I'm going to carefully choose and compose myself, Mick, because my voice keeps breaking up. So I want it to last through the show. Anyway, yes. Here you go.
I want it to last through the show,
yeah,
too, because I'm not going to be here.
No, absolutely.
Well, hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on the wonderful BBSRadio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, and that's called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, book an Akashic reading, or any of the other services we have to offer, please do go and visit our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com or www.spiritsworkradio.com. I'm a deep trance medium, and as usual, I'll be bringing through spirit guide Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you and Sylvie. Gregory will borrow my body for the rest of the show, and I won't be aware of anything that happens from then on, as my spirit and consciousness are taken elsewhere. Gregory had an earth life 300 years ago, and he's come back to help us with the benefit of his education and development in the spirit world. I'm going to let Sylvie take it from here, because I'm going to go and have a nice kip.
Very professionally put, Meg.
Thank you.
Apart from Gregory's many other tasks in the spirit world, he's a spokesperson for a massive group, educational group called the White Cloud Group. They consist of eminent scientists and scholars from all walks of life. Gregory was asked to be the representative of the group by White Cloud himself, who is a shining one. Gregory is very modest, but we think it must have been because he has such an endearing personality and wonderful communication skills that he was selected to help humanity and save our world, or help us save our world. I, for one, I'm very grateful about this because, you know, to think that there are those on the other side in another dimension who still care enough to try to help us and steer us towards a more peaceful spiritual pathway is just something to behold. And today is no exception, as we'll be discussing affinity with reality, and all that entails will become clear as we continue into the show. I'd just like to take this opportunity to say we will be having another free mini Akashic reading week. Actually, it won't be until August now, but we are taking names, bookings now. So if you would like to have a free mini Akashic reading from Gregory, and your Akashic reading is from your book of life, that's everything you've ever thought, felt, sensed, or done in your whole entire life, and don't forget you are an eternal being, so it's very vast, you can do that. And basically you will learn, obviously it's only a 10-minute reading, but you will learn your doorkeeper is, what soul group you're from, and we do ask that you can ask one question as well, okay? Anyway, I will need your full name at birth, including your first, middle, and last name, okay? Your date of birth, your telephone number, just in case I lose your email, and one question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and what you do is you just phone up on the day and you have your reading. This is just a snippet of the full reading that you can get from Gregory. Obviously, the longer the reading that you book with us, with Gregory, the more you will find out. And obviously, if you have a personal one-to-one phone reading with Gregory, a full reading, then it's just you and he on the phone chatting away for 50 minutes, and you can ask him as many questions as you like and converse like you would with anybody else, only he's got answers that probably other people haven't got. So, anyway, that's coming up. So do get in touch. Don't forget to go to our website, which is www.spirit-teaching.com. If you would like to phone in today with a question to Gregory about our program. Okay, it's not a reading. If you want to join in with the conversation, if you have something to say or ask Gregory a question or comment, the number to call is toll-free in the U.S., and that's 877-876-5227. Canada is toll-free. It's 888-810-8322. And if you're an international caller, it's not free just yet, but it's only a quick call, so it won't be too expensive. And that's 001-530-876-3222. Okay. Well, anyway, Gregory, I know you've been sitting there listening to me warble for quite a while now, haven't you?
Yes, Ben.
My dulcet tones.
Yes.
My croaky voice. It's a good job you haven't got it anyway. You haven't got it, have you, Gregory?
No, I don't have that, friend. I don't have a croaky voice. I use his.
Well, yes, but he might have a croaky voice.
No, it wouldn't actually be like that.
Well, I remember it happened once, and it was you sounded a bit gruff. Gruffer than normal.
Yes, I believe so.
Because you had a sore throat.
Yes, I do believe so, but... However, my friend, we have managed to gain a great deal more control since then.
Well, I'm very pleased about that, and I'm sure our listeners are too. Okay, well, today we're going to be talking about Affinity with Reality. That's a very interesting title.
Yes, Affinity with Reality is really very much to do with how human beings in physical life interact with that life. Isn't that going to be the whole tapestry of what you create in this life, in this lifetime that you have now? If you have affinity with reality, it means that you are completely understanding of the real-time events that you both engage with and that you create. If you do not have any affinity with reality but live in a fantasy world, or if you are actually living in the time field that isn't the present day, then you have a problem. And this is really what the aspect of the affinity with reality that we need to talk to you about today. What I'm talking about here is that if a person thinks retrospectively about their life, from day to day, if they only think about the situations that were revealed yesterday or the day before or the week before, month before, year before, all of these situations of retrospective thinking are going to encourage you not to think past. The form of futuristic thinking you should be concentrating upon. So what actually happens is that you then create a different spiral of intention because you are focusing your mind, you're focusing your thoughts, quite simply, upon matters that you can do nothing about. Focusing your mind and thoughts upon situations which actually have no bearing upon your present physical life. But they do have a bearing upon your present physical attitude. So if you are having feeling that you are engaging with a situation which is a past event, and it was a poor past event, showed you perhaps in a form of light which left you feeling hurt, or left you feeling less worthy of self, then this is an intention which you are going to carry on through into the present day, into now, into this reality. If you have affinity with real reality, that is, that which is happening this moment, this breath you take, then what you are doing is you are creating a whole new sense of feeling. If you think about it for a moment, it's actually quite difficult for a human being to concentrate that much upon what they are doing now and what they're doing in the future, because what they have to do is, from time to time, they have to take a break from that. and actually cast their mind back to what they've done in the past. Either to pat themselves well done on the back, or perhaps to feel injured and lost, and a sense of, I suppose, a sort of quiet comes over the human thought process as you reflect upon situations which have negatively impaired you in previous situations in your life. So there it is then. You're actually anchoring yourself to the reality of the past and not reality of now. Surely it is so much more different for you to actually claim creativity if you are really and truly looking forward to a different process. If you are really and truly looking forward to a system of change which you will create through your own understanding, perhaps, yes, engaging with other beings from the spirit world, engaging with other people from your own physical reality as you interact with them, what you are doing is you are creating change. You are creating harmony. Possibly not. You may be creating something of disharmony, something of extreme negativity. Whatever you are doing, you are creating it. Therefore, you have a certain sense of feeling that creates an energy around you because you are not being reflective upon past situations you've interacted with, but you're creating new ones. And that is something which will bring you into perfect balance. Now, through what I just said, I almost intimated there that the negativity spiral can actually be a creative thing in physical reality. Well, yes, because that would be a judgment, would it not, upon what someone's creativity is. Is it something which is positive, or is it something which is negative? That will be, of course, to the eye of the beholder, of whomsoever it may be, that is on the receiving end of that negativity. Once again, my friend, if you actually look at yourself and your own attitude, and you then negatively spiral into something which is perhaps attracting you from the past event, or perhaps it's an anger building within yourself because you disagree with your present environment. That, too, of course, is you being in a complete sense of affinity with reality. Just simply, you are reacting to something which someone else perhaps is bringing to you, or something that you have just created and that you disagree with yourself. There you are again. You are actually looking at something past event and dragging it, kicking and screaming into now, this moment. Instead of actually realizing that what you can do is you may have a thought or a feeling, this doesn't fit right with me, even if you have created it, or perhaps you've listened to someone else creating it, and their reality does not fit with your reality. What are you going to do to change it? You can move away from it, you can turn it off if it's the radio or something you're listening to, you can turn it off. And stop that reality creating a negative influence in your life. Some people, however, they are fixated by this negative reality feeling because it evokes all these other memories. What does this mean? If you are creating in a sense field around you that you are merely responding to negative reactions, which you create yourself, just simply because you are referring to the past, some past event, past dream, past life reality. These things are coming toward you, are impacting upon your life just because you're giving them space, you're giving them energy, you're allowing them to persist in your present day reality now. The affinity with this reality is gone because all you're doing is regurgitating past reality thoughts and feelings. The association that you have with these thoughts and feelings are negative because they create negative spirals within you. However, there is, in a sense of familiarity. that make you feel at home with them. Some people do not like creating all of the time in their life because they find it exhausting. And actually what happens to the large part is that when you become exhausted in that way, what do you relax to? What is it? Ask yourself, what is it that really creates space that you are actually then able just to wallow in it for a while, so that you don't have to tax yourself? You don't have to continue to create this positive thing to change your reality shape of now. Simply, my friends, what you do is you wallow in the past reality. You think merely about the thoughts that you, where you didn't succeed, that you have where you felt less worthy of yourself. Perhaps you may reflect upon past dreams that you had, which also did not materialize. So you see, the position we are coming from is when you are thinking in terms of what you want to do now, this minute, what you want to create with your life this moment, tomorrow perhaps. You may be laying plans for your life tomorrow. You may be laying plans for months ahead. Perhaps you are going to go on holiday or something like that. This will be something which will allow you to look forward, to have more forward thinking than the thinking of the past. Particularly, of course, for some people who actually need something to look forward to help them focused on being creativity, on bringing in the energy of creativity, should I say. That this, too, will then help a human being to focus and create the right ambiance around them to be able to continue their feelings of self-worth.
Okay. You're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and you're listening to Spirit's Work. We're talking about the affinity with reality. If you'd like to join us with a question, join in with our conversation. The number is a toll-free number in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. And any international callers, it's not toll-free, but it's a short phone call, so it's not too expensive. It's 001-530-876-3222. A couple of things spring to mind, Gregory.
Yes.
How can you exhaust yourself being creative?
You can exhaust yourself being creative because you're not used to living in that sensory field. Quite simply, it is because human beings only generally tend to create in bursts. And when they are then feeling as though they are taking their intention and their attention off the series of creativity which they are engaging in, they then lapse into the past, into what they've already created. Then it goes back again, what you created yesterday, or what you didn't create, what you didn't do, what you didn't say.
They lose momentum.
Yes, so they lose momentum, and then there they are. They just have to break, have to stop doing that. Really, it's why I suppose so many people have difficulty with attention span.
So does that mean that there are a certain type of person that is better at that? I mean,
No, it isn't at all. It's just because human beings are out of practice with doing it. If you have a person, my friend, who is working a great deal of the day, that is being creative, is being engaging with reality, with now, with the practice of doing something in order to gain an end result, whatever that end result is, that is something which is not just occupational. It is something which is creative, to be productive, to be positive, even if it's a negative act. It's still doing something. You see, I'm not making divisions here of whether a situation is positive or negative per se, simply because that is a matter of opinion, of judgment, of decision. And what one person and their feeling and their value of negativity is perhaps to someone else a delight. Particularly if they have engaged with that feeling in a very positive way. It's just, it's exactly the same reason, my friend, why child molesters do what they do. Quite simply because they have a positive feeling from it.
Well, yes. Yeah.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So what you have to engage with people in doing, if they are stuck in these negative spirals of decay, of perhaps not necessarily repeating things from the past, but actually actively having their reality, their affinity with reality, in a sense, but focused with something which is negative, or which society views as negative. Don't forget that what you're responding to here are the rules of engagement, of morality, what it is that you find acceptable, that the mass finds acceptable, or that you are told to find acceptable, depending upon your religious experience, or depending upon how the laws of that particular environment have been fixed.
Or morals.
Well, yes, morals too, of course. After all, most people would not generally think or sense or feel that they could molest a child. And perhaps for some, they become visibly, physically sick when they hear a story or witness a story that something like of that nature is being done. And then what happens to you when you encounter that kind of grief to your morality? What is it that really creates this this and amplifies this negative feeling? You simply step back into the situations of the past. You revisit those other situations which have already led you to the opinion, and then that underlines the opinion that you have. So, for some people, they actually find that they're in some sort of morass over this opinion, that they're actually thinking, well, how on earth can I get out of this now? Because they're in this negative trough about a child being molested again, and yet again, and yet again. As each time the story surfaces, same story, different child. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, is part of the engagement. That's why what you have at this present time is the engagement of negativity with media. The situation is that you will see 80 times more negative stories than you will a positive one.
Oh, at least. In papers and on the television.
Exactly so, my friend. And that is what it will create within you. Further negativity upsetting your present-day affinity with reality. Because in actual fact, my friend, your calm world, you may be creating something really beautiful. You may be inspired through your life because you just have a beautiful view to witness, an image to see, or a beautiful piece of music to hear. You are delighting, vibrating in that wonder of sound created maybe for you by somebody else, created in front of you because of the actions of others. You see, just in the same way that you watch a beautiful animal or bird doing the instinctive things which it does to create its life, or perhaps a tree as it stands in a field and you watch as it is blown by the wind, moving ever so gently and gracefully and with such light and vigor, such beauty that it puts the trace of that beauty and harmony into the world. That is what you are viewing, that you're drinking that in without necessarily understanding it. So what you need to do, that's why we always say to you to try to keep your eyes open, your mind straight, your mind forward thinking. In creating this positivity and in engaging with this positivity, it's actually something that you cannot help but do if you would only drink in what you actually see. Because your side of life, the physical state is so beautiful. So beautiful.
But when you are surrounded by this negative cloud, because that's what it feels like, doesn't it?
Yes.
And obviously that cloud can be blacker or different shades of grey, or depending on how bad people are feeling.
Yes.
I mean, they can't see the beauty of the other things then. You can't actually, the vision of everything around you, you don't notice the
beautiful
thing. It's all
gone, it's all been taken away.
Mm.
Yes. That's right, because your affinity has been altered. What are you attracting to now? You're attracting to negativity. Therefore, you do not see the beautiful tree, the wonderful bird. You are not looking at the other aspects of God, which you are a part of.
Mm.
Therefore, all of this becomes, as it is, in a sense, an illusion. So what if you have a communication and you feel that it is negatively impacting you? It may well be that that is just because you are taking on that responsibility for self. You are responding to that in kind, in type, perhaps because you've had other information to the contrary. So does this mean that because you then dismiss this new creativity, that in fact really what you're doing is you're keeping your mind closed to new possibilities? Because don't forget, living in the physical reality means you are accepting different alterations. You are accepting change. If you don't accept it, you will go back and revisit the matters of the past yet again. Yet again regurgitating those senses and feelings to make you feel safe. Because that's what it does. It makes you feel safe because you're responding pheromonically to those activities in your physical system. And that's what you're creating within you. A feeling of wellness through negativity. Thank you very much.
I think that's a crucial word there. Open to change, really, is the key, isn't it?
Yes.
If you're not open to change in whatever way, either way.
Yes. Whatever it is. The point is that you have to accept different parameters. These are that the person that you last communicated with doesn't necessarily know everything. The world and everything within it, all ingredients of every single biscuit eaten. If you follow me, that person that you last spoke to does not have every answer. And in truth, my friend, it could well be that that person is actually not engaging in that which is truth, but is engaging within something which their perception reveals to it, to them, that it's truth. That doesn't mean to say they're lacking or that they're lesser. It means to say that is the stage of their development.
It's very interesting talking about people that you are with. Some people can remain not realizing it. I know we've brushed on this before. In the negative zone, shall we say, that
yes,
they actually live in the negative zone all of the time.
Yes.
Lovely, beautiful people, absolutely lovely, wonderful, kind hearts.
Yes.
But nevertheless, quite draining because they are so negative.
Yes.
You know, they wouldn't agree with that because they would say, well, I never say anything bad about anyone else. And that's not what we mean. We don't mean that you go around talking about people and being negative towards people, but it's your attitude of mind. It's like soaking up all the bad vibes that are around.
Like blotting paper, soaking up the stains,
yes,
of life.
Yes, and I think that's one of the hardest things to do, is to try and help people who think like that in a kind way, to actually even broach it.
Oh yes, absolutely so. Most difficult. Some people, of course, they may be truthfully thinking, well, this is their time perhaps coming to the end of their life or something like that. Yes, that's a very difficult thing to deal with. But some people, of course, can actually step outside of that and say, well, no, thank you very much. I've had my very good life, thank you, and I am happy to be returning home. You see, if you look at something in a very positive way, throw a very definite positive light on something, even if it means that it's the end of your journey in physical state, then what it is that you have to face, perhaps maybe to you, in your own personality, something which you are not aware of, and the chances are that everyone has told you this is going to be painful. So it's going to be painful, so painful, that it will create your largest nightmare. But that's, of course, their opinion. They may have a religious plan to use that as a stick before you.
So what happens? What's the difference between the feelings, physiologically, the feelings that we get when we feel happy and when we are dwelling in the past, in the negativity, when we are feeling positive and when we are feeling negative? Why is it so much easier to hold on to one than the other?
It's much easier to hold on to negativity because it doesn't require the effort of creativity.
Okay, so where does that come from? How is that different? Is it because negativity is a passive situation?
Yes, it's a passive situation and it is a draining situation. So it means to say that when you engage with negativity, you are in fact allowing your life to be drained away from you. And that, do not forget, my friend, that what this will actually create in your auric field is the attraction of others who are negative, both in the physical light and in the spirit light, to actually become closer to you. And they too will help you in draining your life essence, as it were.
I'd like to talk about that in a little while, the spirit world slant on this.
Yes.
I'd like to mention that you very often get women who, shall we say, always seem to be with a negative, domineering, forceful husband or whatever.
Yes, a brute perhaps who beats them up or something like that.
Yeah, so that's two people living in the negative zone, shall we say. One passively, but there must be something there. They must be like in a drug-like way, the woman.
Well, yes, like, but also, of course, in a sense, some might say that they are actually trying to change them as well. So it may be that they're actually coming from a misguided sense and feeling, because actually it's a bit like, I suppose, having a crazy horse, that if you really have a crazy horse, then there is nothing you can do with it.
Yes, but it's more of a, like, he is a more forceful, how shall I say, aggressive negative person. And
yes,
she's a passive negative person. But it's almost like she soaks it up.
Yes.
And doesn't realize that actually she gets something from that, maybe, possibly. Not in every case.
No, absolutely. Yes, because they do get something from it. That's the point. Apart from a beating, apart from black eyes or bruised lips or whatever.
But I don't suppose it would be until that person would get out of that situation that then they would actually maybe have the ability to feel in the positive zone.
Yes, but that is why, my dear friend, such women in that kind of position, they really need to have someone to call a friend, real friend.
Mm-hmm.
And who will say, not paraphrase them, but will try to be this echo back in trying to show that person that they are not morally obliged to keep this up.
Mm-hmm. But you could show somebody a film and
yes,
it could be a total inaction, a film of them, what they do in their life,
yes,
and say, oh, I hope that this might ring a bell here, and they
yes,
wouldn't recognize that is what they do.
No, of course not, because they would actually be in denial in any event, quite simply because that isn't the perspective they're coming from. Their affinity with reality creates that. So it means to say, well, yes, I can see that, but it's not me. I don't do that because those aren't my thoughts. And they will try to wriggle out of facing this situation quite simply because they're afraid of it. Because it's an admittance of self that you have failed yourself.
Well, yes, but sometimes they just don't even see it. I mean, how does a paedophile cross the line between, you know, actually thinking something and actually doing it and convincing themselves that that's okay? I mean, how something happens in people's minds.
But they are not in the sense of thinking that this is okay. What they actually deal with in their minds is that it creates the pleasure they seek. Regardless of whether to many people or most people that is something which is horrendous and that they could not encourage within their lives, it does not mean to say for those who choose it that they are discouraged by the activity. It means to say that they are encouraged by the activity. Once they've done it once, they will go to create as many opportunities as are possible for them to be able to deal with it, to be able to reenact that situation, because it gave them an altered pheromonic balance which they responded to, which made them happy. And created happiness out of extreme negativity towards someone else. That's exactly the same as many different forms of violence will be toward anyone else. Or perhaps even one could say to a point, I suppose, other forms of sexual deviancy. However, I have to feel that some of it is really to do with whether you are morally capable at that time of saying, well, I have free will and this is my right. And using that as a judgment, so long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, then you could say that within free will, it is acceptable. Exactly the same as someone taking drugs or drinking alcohol or smoking cigarettes. Yes, that too is acceptable to the individual. It is their right. If that's what they want to do in the physical life, and I'm not equating those other things to do with matters of sexual indication
or whatever.
And I have no wish to try to bring this into the same moral field. I'm not at all.
No.
So please do not misunderstand me
here. And smoking and drinking are quite different too, aren't they?
Well, yes, but I'm just saying, you see, I'm just really using a point. You understand? If you want to mow your grass, or if you wish rather to leave your mown grass and just let it grow wild, perhaps you want to see what different kinds of wildflowers grow within it. That would be something beautiful, would it not? And yet all your neighbors round about are very, very distrustful of your motives. Why doesn't he go and cut his lawn?
Yes. So, I mean, one of the things that is a big problem, we deal with it daily, don't we, is the fact that these attitudes of mind spill over into the spirit world.
Yes, they do. Very much so. They continue on in the spirit world. That's the problem. Because of the fact that human beings do not come face to face with these thoughts, feelings, actions, activity, realities, states of affinity, with whatever that they are creating in their life, it means to say that what actually is happening is that all these thoughts and situations, consciousness, awareness, the life trial, all of this has come along and joined them in their spirit world. Because, of course, what is in the spirit world, in the nature of your existence from physical reality, is your cellular memory. Everything to do with it. Everything to do with everything that you've thought, sensed, felt from this physical life. So it means to say that you are the sum total of what you've become. If you want to continue in the spirit world to develop those negative thoughts and traits, those feelings of, oh, poor me of the past, or those feelings that you were so lacking, then your affinity with reality will be distorted beyond all conception of reality. because your reality now will be set in then, now.
If you'd like to join us with a question relating to our subject, you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. The number to call is toll-free. It's the US, 877-876-5227. Canada is 888-810-8322. International callers, not toll-free, it's 001-530-876-3222. And our website is spirit-teaching.com. Okay, so something interesting that you said actually the other day, that there are those in the spirit, if it was, I think you were talking about people who were fearing death, that
yes.
Thought that when they got to the other side that was the end of it, or they were expecting something or other. I expect they're all individual.
Yes.
That they can actually still be in a state of limbo, not waking up or anything, and they can have been in that state for hundreds of years.
Yes. We have hundreds of thousands of them, friend.
I mean, that is incredible. I mean, I can understand, well, we can sort of understand the lost souls and that sort of thing, and people,
yes.
You know, that get stuck in their thoughts in different ways, but to actually just be, have not done anything. They've passed, and there they are, just there.
Yes, waiting.
Just waiting.
Well, they may be waiting, or they may actually just be asleep. They may be just that their energy does not wish to continue, or that they don't wish their energy to continue.
Exactly.
And therefore, they will just remain dormant until they finally come to the realization that, well, this isn't actually getting them anywhere.
So they are, but are they thinking things? Their consciousness, are they, because their mind and their spirit and everything has been taken, are they, although they haven't opened their eyes to do anything other than just get to the other side, are they thinking at that time anything?
That will very much depend upon the individual. Some will be in a state of, shall we say, that perhaps they're waiting for something or some energy to wake them up, because that's what they've been told. Maybe it might be that they are waiting for a grand design, for some specific day or something like that, that they have been told that they will be awoken, perhaps usually to do with some religious experience or something like that. It may well be, of course, and I understand that people may have difficulty with this. Well, surely, if a person comes to the spirit world, then there'll be all of those loved ones there to greet them and all of that. Well, not necessarily so, particularly if they didn't want to meet anyone. If you, as a physical being, when you pass, don't want to meet anyone, that's a matter for you. And it will be respected by the spirit world, regardless of all the love that may be there from ancestors and people who have watched your progress in physical life. They will not necessarily engage with you because you have perhaps insisted as a prerequisite to coming to the spirit world that you would not engage with them.
Well, I mean,
they'll just leave you alone.
A lot of the times, that part of it, particularly with the religious aspect of it, a lot of the time that would come afterwards. They would have to go to the kingdom of wherever and be, you know, with their deity or whatever, and then they will be with their family again.
Yes, exactly, and so everything then will be all right. But the point is that so many, actually perhaps because they have a wobbly faith, a wobbly truth, perhaps it is that they do not think of anything, that there will be anything after the physical life. Many people, after all, think that at the point of your passing, that's it, that there's nothing else. And if you think that, you go to the spirit world thinking that, for some, they will carry on being in that state. And it's a sort of a vegetative state, because their affinity with reality keeps them and their consciousness fixed upon the last thought that they had, which was, I'm not going to experience anything.
Is that, I know there's thousands of them, but is that more rare? When you think of the thousands and millions of people that have had an Earth life, I mean, I expect people to be wondering and worrying that, oh my gosh, you know, my mum doesn't believe in anything and she's gone. That doesn't mean to say she's going to be stuck.
No, it doesn't mean that at all, because for some, it may be that the overriding energy coming from the spirit world and coming from those loved ones in that energy is so intense that it reassures the person who has passed that everything is all right, you see.
Yeah.
That's the point to remember, that this isn't something which is, it's not a carte blanche attitude. It isn't something which you can say, yes, this is the white paint or this is a brown paint and that is the way it will always be. Mm. Actually, white paint tends to turn many different colours. And of course, white paint contains all colour.
And of course, one of the reasons really why talking about this is so important, not only for us living here and obviously to help us to take a little bit more care and think a little bit more about how we can use our mind to help us to have a happier life.
Yes.
It's also because it makes the passing and the next world existence, the continuing existence, the next chapter, shall we say, easier for them.
Well, absolutely so, because if they know that they're going to meet their favorite friend or their loving mother or father or sister or brother, that which is fixed for them, if they know that that's a fact, then where is the fear? The fear is only transient because you are looking at the physical state and perhaps the ugliness sometimes that human beings go through at the point of passing. It's ugly. It may well be. It may be that they're going through great agony, that they are then frightened. This thing creates fear within them, but don't forget it's only transient. It's temporary. It's just there for a moment, then it's gone. The moments of the past memory of that create worse fear than the actual thing itself. You see?
Mm. Yes. So you, amongst your many, many tasks and things that you do in the spirit world in service to others, you do a lot in the reception chamber in greeting people
yes.
when they come over, and even being with them before, in their last moments, maybe before they come.
Yes, yes, that too. In trying to help them overcome the point of pain, perhaps, that they're in, or something like that. Just helping them to realize that they can just let go. The point is, you see, many people hold on in a sense. They feel pain, perhaps, and then they're rigid, rather than just allowing the state of transition to come about.
Mm. So would you say that children are a lot more accepting and easier to guide and explain how it works in the spirit world with their mind consciousness?
Yes, absolutely so, because it's simple. And it is simple. I don't mean to paint such a complex picture. The point is we have to cover every event and reality, and that what's different for one person will be just as different for someone else, because it's a very personal experience. So with you having an affinity with reality, if your affinity is something which is positive, wholesome, forward-thinking, forward-looking, that you do not dwell in the cycle of negativity and past events, those deeds which remain undone and cannot be and cannot be changed or altered in that way. They're just your past thoughts which are there to hold you back, in a sense.
So you can basically either carry on thinking negatively in the spirit world and not really, I don't like to say evolve, but not grow.
Not alter and create an experience, yes.
You can carry on doing that, or you can be positive. But isn't it easier to be positive because presumably you haven't got the material? I mean, gosh, it's very difficult on this earth because there's so much negativity around, being bombarded one way or the other all the time. Isn't it, if you are not a bad person, and it's just something that maybe you were a nervy person and you did dwell in the negativity a lot here. Isn't it easier to shake that off in the spirit world?
It can be, but there again, it depends upon your vibration index at the time. If you're crowded out with negativity, then how are you going to overcome it unless you have help or unless you accept help from some other vibration?
But there will be somebody there to help you if you are are of that mind to want help. You realize
absolutely.
You need help.
Absolutely. Even the lowest negative being who ever lived, once they change their attention from something which is negative to anything which is positive, you are creating change in that being. You are setting a trigger in motion into their index which will actually alter their vibration. And that's it. It's as simple as that. You just have to say something beautiful, or you have to give a gift, an activity toward them which reveals to them that they appreciate your attention of them.
Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that that means that somebody who's been a serial killer on Earth has just got to, say they're listening to this, or say, I'll just say something. It doesn't work like that, doesn't it?
No.
They can't pull the wool over anybody's eyes in the spirit world because of their vibration.
No, indeed not. They have to work for it. And believe me, this is all about making the creative process work for you. So this has to be something which happens in the reality of the situation. So it will be incremental. It will be development. It will be that gradually you will come to learn of the life that you have led and your responsibility to it now in having a free will experience, but also in applying that experience right across the spectrum of your life so that you are able to bring forward love once again from within yourself.
So it's all about really your intention, isn't it?
Yes.
Power of intention. I know we've talked about the power of intention
before,
but it really is about that. I mean, everything from the serial killer to us here wanting to better our lives and attract positivity to us and that sort of thing, and create our own reality.
Yes, absolutely so. The reason why the affinity with reality is so important is because it helps you to recognize how harmonic you can be, how beautiful you can be, if you do not have negative thoughts of the last moment that you thought.
And if we realize,
don't have regret.
Yes, and if we don't really realize all of these different things that make us feel negative and put us into that, let's say, the danger zone, that it can either go one way or the other if you're not careful. And I know we can't avoid the news and we can't avoid that sort of thing, but just to be aware of the people and the things that we do in our lives that can start taking us down that slippery slope. Well,
absolutely, Fred. Yes.
We've come to time, Gregory.
Yes, with love and light, then, may blessings be upon your pathway and always be in your loving vibration that you create for your life.
Thank you, Gregory.
Lovely.
Bye-bye. Well, we hope you've enjoyed the show. Just like to mention our website again, spirit-teaching.com. And don't forget, if you want a mini free Akashic reading on one of our shows, do just get in touch with us. It's email enq@spirit-teaching.com. My name is Sylvie Avery. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.
Thomas, and you're listening to BBS Radio.
Check out www.stateofmanmusic.com.
Nobody does the www anymore, man.
Yes, they do.
It's not about the www, Gary. It's about
the BBS, baby.
BBS.
Make sure to check out both sides of the story, our new CD at stateofmanmusic.com.